History shows that there is nothing more easy to enslave and nothing so hard to emancipate as ignorance. Hence it becomes the double enemy of civilization. By its civility, it is the prey of tyranny, and by its credulity, it is the foe of enlightenment. And this week's opening quote comes from Lemuel K. Washburn. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world that you live in is just completely and utterly stark raving mad, folks? I do. It's just really silly, some of the things that we see in the world today, and that's really the only word that I can find to describe it. It really is. I mean, some of the things that we see in the world are just completely ridiculous. They really are. And very often I think the rulers, the people that are running the show, they just do stuff because they know the people just won't notice, and they also do it just to fly things in the face of the people sometimes. I really think they do that. They just say, well, look what we're going to do, and you're not really going to be able to do anything about it, and this just shows you how much we don't care about you, and we're going to pretend to care anyway, and the media's going to fluff it all over, and you're just going to have to wear it, aren't you? It almost feels like that's just the way they think when they do things, folks. I mean, look what they just did in the United Nations last week, I think it was. They appointed the Saudi representative to the United Nations as the head of the UN Human Rights Council. And think about that, folks, the Saudi representative. I mean, here's Saudi Arabia, the most brutal regime on the planet, cutting off heads and hands left, right and centre. I mean, the human rights abuses of Saudi Arabia are just off the charts. And here we have the Saudi representative of the United Nations being appointed the head of the Human Rights Council. I mean, this is like appointing the Marquis de Sade as the head of a kindergarten council. The Saudis have cut off more heads this year than ISIS. It's ridiculous, folks, and they just do this to fly things in the face. I'm sure that's why they do that. I cannot see any other reason for them to appoint the Saudi representative to this position if they weren't doing so just to show the people how much they really don't care and how much they're prepared to get away with, and just to maybe stir up the hatred in the hearts of the people a little bit. I'm sure that these people want everyone to hate them. I really do. I mean, I think they feed off the energy because their actions would appear to indicate that anyway. I mean, there's nothing that these people do that appears to be in any way, even anything that might be construed as nice. And so you've got to wonder why they work so hard or seem to work so hard to generate hatred within the hearts of the people. Perhaps they do it because it also inspires a sense of inaction within the minds of the people, because the people would look at this and think, well, if they're going to do that, then what else are they going to do and what can I do about it? And I guess they're just going to get away with anything and I might as well give up. I think that is half of their motivation in their actions sometimes, because what we see from these people most of the time, it just flies in the face of everything it means to be human. But then, of course, perhaps they're not human, folks. Or perhaps if they are human, they just prefer the company of non-human types, such as what seems to be the case with the British Prime Minister, David Cameron. The recent reports that have been surfacing regarding his extracurricular activities at school seem to go a long way to define the character of the type of people who inhabit the corridors of power in England anyway. He really does put a new slant on establishments such as the Hog's Breath Cafe, doesn't it? You've really got to wonder where the people who started that chain got their inspiration from. Perhaps it was David Cameron. It really is amazing what some people get up to, folks. It really is. But anyway, moving forward. The whole war on terror seems to be turning into a little bit of a circus, with Putin's intervention in the US, intervention in Syria. This is actually quite a bit of theatre going on here, folks. I mean, quite amazing, really. I mean, Putin's done an amazing thing, the way he's handling this situation. You can tell the guy is actually quite clever, and he's quite a statesman, really, in the way he is handling this. I mean, he made a comment a few months ago that he was not interested in joining America's Empire of Chaos, as he called it, because, of course, Putin's just been kind of sitting on the sidelines. He's been happy to play the villain or to play this and watch and see how this whole New World Order system is put in place. But he's seen what it's becoming, and he just basically stepped away and said, look, you guys are just messing things up. This is just a complete schmozzle, and your whole New World Order is just falling apart at the seams. And so now he's gone in to help Syria, help the Syrian government fight the terrorists, And of course, the United States and Israel are in there apparently fighting terrorists as well. But of course, they're the ones who are funding and supplying the terrorists. And so it's an interesting thing. Here we have two sides facing off against each other, both who are claiming to be fighting the same terrorists. And it's really, really quite remarkable the way Putin has done that. And he's done it so publicly, which basically flies in the face of everything the Western propaganda system has been trying to promote. It really has thrown a huge spanner in their works. But apart from that, folks, I mean, looking at things holistically, the world just seems to be falling apart, doesn't it? Really, it seems to be falling apart at the seams. Of course, it's all being done by design, but it just seems to be falling apart. I mean, Europe is really heading for a bad place. And I can see it coming in all of our countries. I can see it coming to Australia as well. Australia is heading for a very bad place. In fact, most countries are heading for a bad place. And I think a lot of the problem in dealing with this, folks, is our inability to maintain any focus and to be able to launch any type of coordinated response to this system. And I think a lot of that is because a lot of people don't really understand what the system is. They don't really understand what the problem is. They don't really know where to direct their focus because they're not sure who they are battling. They're not really sure who the enemy is, if that's the label that we can put on the nefarious hand which is stretching itself out across the earth. You know, we look at all the problems in all of our countries. You know, you look at the problems in the United States and you think, well, Obama's the problem. He's the one who's doing it. You do the same with England. You think, well, it's David Cameron's government that's the problem. And the same here in Australia. You think it's the Liberal government that's doing all these terrible things. But these are just puppets, folks. These are simply the operating mechanism of the corporate entity that is your country. These are the CEOs who run the company. That's all they really are, folks. It's those above the government that we are concerned about. The thing is, of course, though, is that government is the interface that we can use to get to what is behind the government. This is why I've been focusing so much on government lately, such as we are attempting to do with Full Circle Project. I mean, we need to realize that what lays behind the workings of government can't be got to unless we address that facade that stands between us and the mechanism that lies behind it. But what really lies behind the government, folks, is the financial backing that the government receives and the different aspects to that financial backing. I mean, it really does cover a lot of ground. It's an octopus, folks. It isn't just the fact that the government is supplied money by private banking cartels. It's what other activities these cartels are up to and the other things that they're doing, which is really the problem. See, the whole New World Order system that's being rolled out, and I've been saying this for a very long time, folks, it's an economically based slavery system. And they're tailoring it so it's a scientifically based and a scientifically controlled slavery system. This is what they're doing with all the AI. And that's exactly what is happening, folks. See, the problem is the system itself. That's why our response to this is so ineffective in many ways, because we're not realizing that the problem isn't really the people who run the system, you know, the government and all this. This provides, as I said, it provides us an access point to get to the workings behind it. But it isn't the government that is the problem. It isn't even the people in government. It isn't even the people at the top, the banking cartels who are financing it. It's the system itself, because the system is like an organism. It's like it's got its own life now. And it's the system itself which is the problem, and that's where we need to address our focus. We need to stop complying with the rules and regulations that the system is bringing in. Now, what it's doing is it's making itself more efficient, and very soon you will have a completely artificial AI-controlled system which will be controlling virtually every aspect of human life. And at that point, you don't even need to have people in there making the decisions. You don't particularly need government of any degree. And as you can see, folks, our governments are becoming more and more ineffective. Even in the United States, you're seeing that Congress doesn't really serve any purpose anymore, not with all the executive orders and the special privileges and the fast tracking and everything that's been brought into the US system. And it's the same here. You know, we don't really need government in too much of its current form anymore. It's gradually phasing itself out. And what is being introduced in its place is basically an AI controlled system. Basically a computer program that's going to be running everything, and it just analyzes the data and it does what needs to be done. And it takes all human control out of the system. So we have governance without government, and that's what they're doing, folks. They're putting in a smart system which will control virtually every aspect of the human experience, and it will all be done via a database and a computer program. That's what all of this AI is about. That's what all the tracking is about. This is what all the data collection is about. This is why they need so much data on everybody. This is what the tracking on social media is about, how they link data together that you are generating, all your credit card activity or your online searching activity. And on your online searching activity, it doesn't just give them a result of your searches. It actually gives them a concept of what you're thinking about. And when you do this across the board, you get an idea of what the entire planet is thinking about, and you get a viable map of the human terrain, and therefore you're able to predict what's going to happen. So you introduce stuff like pre-crime, which they're talking about now in the United States. They're talking about being able to predict who is going to commit crimes and being able to arrest them before they commit them. I mean, this is like what we saw in that movie Minority Report, and this is where it's all going, folks, and that is the problem. The problem is the system itself. It's not necessarily the ones who are controlling it and financing it and putting all the money into it. I mean, they are a big part of it, but it's the companies that these people have set up, which are now basically self-funding and self-controlling organisms and self-perpetuating, and they just go where the research takes them, and they follow their scientific reality towards its ultimate goal, and they believe they're doing the right thing, because this is just the way scientists work. I mean, they're all mad, folks. Most scientists are completely mad. And there's also the very real problem that many scientists quite literally believe themselves to be actually much more worthwhile than other people. You know, and even people will give this incredible respect to science and to the scientific community just by default, because they've been trained to believe that science has all the answers, and so the scientists really know what's going on. But really, they're just mad. They're just tinkering around with nature and tinkering around with reality and seeing what they can come up with. I mean, they are, folks. They're all mad. I mean, I often use the analogy of the first atomic tests. I mean, when they did the first atomic tests, they weren't sure what was going to happen when they detonated the first atomic bomb. They thought it might actually set off a chain reaction in the atmosphere and destroy the Earth. And they thought, well, that might be a problem, but they ran the test anyway. And just the fact that they did that, folks, and the fact that the people of the world allowed them to do that and say, oh, it's okay, they're just scientists, they know what they're doing. And this shows the danger of the scientific community, and it shows that they're all completely and utterly insane. I mean, what do we need to do that for? What do we need to test a bomb that may destroy the planet for? Why do we need to make a bomb like that to begin with? And why is the science community always finding ways to not understand nature, but to control it and to mess with every aspect of it and to control everything? It's not about finding out anymore. And it was about finding out. That's what the scientific community kind of really started off doing. It was just man's inquisitive nature, wanting to know how things worked and wanting to know what we could put together to do other things. But then it became about controlling nature and controlling everything and believing that we are better than nature and that we've been given this mind so that we can mess with everything and turn it into what we think it should be. And the dangerous part about scientists, folks, is that they don't really ask the population what they're doing. They just go ahead and do it. And they run experiments that include entire populations, and they just see what happens. And suddenly the population finds out that they've been modified in some way, and it was done completely without their consent. But the scientists think, well, it's all okay. You don't really understand, but we did you a favor. And it's a very, very scary way of thinking, folks. But these are the guys who are in control of this system. And really, that's what's happening. The system is becoming more and more efficient, and we are doing it for the system. We are the ones that are making the system more efficient because we've been trained to do so through our education system. We've been trained that that's what success is. You get a business, you make it more efficient. So what you're doing is you're discarding people and you're compounding the problem. You're making the system more efficient. And now we've got to a point now where it's really starting to snowball and the system is really bringing itself online. And once all the AI research kicks in and all the computer programs kick in and they can start analyzing data in real time, then we're going to be in some serious difficulty getting out of this system, folks. We really are. And we need to pay attention now, and we need to address the matter now. We really do. And the best way we can do it is to make noise about it. Again, this is what we're attempting to do with the Full Circle Project. We're going to have a meeting for Full Circle Project actually next Thursday, October the 1st. I think it's British Standard Time, 10 p.m. is when it's going to be held. So you'd have to look that time up. But if you go to the Full Circle website, then you will find a link there in the events. There'll be a Google Hangout that we're setting up, so you can come and log on to the Google Hangout. And if you've got any questions for us and you want to know what the project's about and you have any ideas you want to interject, then you can come along and join in. This is for participants of the Full Circle Project. We're actually going to run it on the Full Circle Project website, so you'll have to be logged into the project if you want to participate in the Hangout and participate in the chat. But please do check the website for details on that. The website again is fullcircleproject.net, and the time will be October the 1st at 10 p.m. British Standard Time. So that's something to look forward to, folks. It is good to see the project taking off and people getting involved. And I really do think we can make a difference with this. If we can just coordinate some response and we can motivate enough people on the ground, then we can make a difference. And that's what this is about, folks. I've had a lot of people contact me and say, is this some sort of new social media thing you're trying to set up? And no, we're not setting up a social media thing. In fact, we're tailoring the website so that it's not too interactive, so that you're not going to be spending time looking at your screen on the website. What it's about is linking people up in your local community, linking people up together and meeting people in real time and discussing things in real time and forming local action groups so you can address problems in your local area. That's what it's about. It's really just about coordinating and linking people up. It's definitely not a social media apparatus. In fact, making it too comfortable for people to want to be online and spend their time chatting with other participants all the time actually defeats the purpose of what we are attempting to do with Full Circle Project. It's all about using the internet to link people up, but then getting them away from the computer and getting them out there in the real world making a difference. And the way we can make a difference is, I believe, by having a common focus in our approach to this control grid. But again, as I said before, we've got to know what the control grid is, and the control grid is actually the system itself. It's the actual control grid itself that is the problem. The issue we are having is that the control grid is being rolled out via legislation that's been put in place by governments. I don't even think many of these members of governments really even know what they're doing. They're just following orders from higher up. And they're working to make the system more efficient as well. I mean, a lot of the politicians aren't necessarily nefarious personalities who are involved in this evil plan. They're just working to make their particular department more efficient. And the way they're doing it is they're digitizing things and they're making things more streamlined and more programmable, and they're letting the computer do the work for them. And the way it's going is it's all leading towards a point where government is actually making itself redundant, and it's all going to end up being run by a computer program which assigns and delegates different duties to different government departments, and these departments carry out these duties. You know, you'll have an economic department which manages the economic things, but there won't be any finance minister controlling it. It'll be the AI controlling it. And you'll have a law enforcement department that's looking at anybody who steps outside the parameters of the system. And it'll be able to do this because everything will all be digitized. It'll know all the transactions that are being made. It'll know where everybody goes. It'll be able to analyze in real time who is about to do the wrong thing or who has done the wrong thing. And then the system will take steps to correct their actions. And this can be done by simply limiting their access to certain services and steering them back into the right pathway that the system thinks they should be on. This can be done through the smart system. Once you've got all these smart appliances everywhere and everything's run by digital currency and it's all controlled by AI, it'll just be able to correct your action and steer you back to the path it thinks you should be on. And if you continue to deviate from that path, well, then they can send some law enforcement around to maybe drag you off and put you in a cage for a little while and correct your behavior that way. But the easiest way to correct people's behavior in this digital AI system, folks, is to simply limit their access to services or just switch off their access to currency, switch off their access to credit. And this is the way it's all going to be done. And eventually the government will make itself redundant and the entire world will be run by one AI system, which will remove all humanity from the equation. And that's where we're going. It's basically this scientific dictatorship that is being imposed on us. And this is all going to be resource-based. This was the big problem with the Venus Project, you see, because the Venus Project was a resource-based economy that didn't have currency. And it was all to do with how much energy you put into the system as to how much energy you can get out of the system. And this is exactly what the scientific dictatorship that they are putting in place is. As I mentioned a few weeks ago on the show, there's a very, very good book that's been released by a man called Patrick Wood, which I recommend that you buy and read, and it's called Technocracy Rising. And it's a fantastic book, and he has really put things together in a very, very coherent way. So you're able to understand where all this has come from and how it's being rolled out. And what our best strategy is to recognize that the real problem we are facing here doesn't come from people. It comes from the system itself. I mean, sure, like I said, there are evil people who do evil things. I mean, all the members of the Trilateral Commission that have put all this together are not very nice people. You know, the Rockefellers and all of these crew, these are not nice people, for sure. But the real problem is the way we have been trained to have a distorted view of what success is. You know, we spend our lives trying to become successful, and the way we do it is by making the particular area in which we work more efficient. And by doing so, we are constructing the system ourselves. That's the problem. We're losing all of our old ways, we're digitizing everything, and we're letting machines run our lives for us. And when this gets to a point where the machine has a particular aspect and a particular idea of how the world should be run, and this machine has intelligence and can think for itself and plan and strategize, then it starts managing the entire human race like a very, very efficient machine, a corporate entity, a big department store, and a feedlot. And that's basically what we'll get. And this will be a very, very dangerous time for humanity. And if we allow ourselves to be locked into a system like that, folks, we're going to find it very, very difficult to escape from. Because through the changes that they're making to the education system, I mean, in a couple of generations, people are not going to be thinking the way they do now, because they're not going to have the words available that they have now. I mean, the words that they're taking out of the education system are ridiculous. They're taking the word master out of the US education system because of its connotations towards slavery. They're saying this is a terrible thing because of the history of black slavery and all this sort of stuff. But what happens when you don't have the word master in your vocabulary and you don't know what that word means? Then you don't realize that you have masters. You don't realize that you are a slave. And this is the way they're taking it. Remember in the book 1984 by George Orwell, when they removed all of the words from the language which pertains to anything such as rebellion or freedom or anything like that? The main character in the book, Winston Smith, he knew that he wasn't free, and he knew that he wanted to rebel against the system. He knew there was something terribly wrong, but he didn't know how to convey those thoughts to anybody else or to really express those thoughts within himself, because there were no words for freedom. There were no words for rebellion. There was no word for dissent. The apartments in which they lived were dominated by large television screens which watched them as much as they watched the screen. And the house was bugged and all of the sort of stuff that they're doing now. I mean, Windows 10 that they're bringing in, folks, this effectively bugs your home. So when you take the scenario that was outlined by George Orwell in 1984 and you combine it with the scenario that was outlined by Aldous Huxley in Brave New World, and you see a system that is automated and digitally controlled, and where people are given a particular substance to keep their mood even, then you can see how combining those two things together is a pretty clear illustration of where we're going. Only one thing was left out, and that was the economic control system that was going to be put in place over the top to control it all. And when you have a digitally based economic system, and a different type of economic system, a system that is actually energy-based, whereby the amount of energy you put into the system is the amount of energy you are able to take out of the system, and then you can see where all this is going. And you can imagine such a system being run by artificial intelligence, which simply assigned and delegated different roles to people based on their educational standard, and a system that tailors particular education systems for people of different classes. And then you can see exactly where it's all going, folks. And the ability for mankind to have any creative input into their lives at that point becomes severely curtailed. Every person operating within the system simply becomes a little cog, a functional part of the system. And if you are not supporting the system and helping the system function in the way it wants to function, then you are discarded by the system, or you're seen as breaking the law or whatever it is that they can cook up to correct your behavior. So there's no room for free expression in such a system, folks. There's no room for
humanity to ever reach any of its potential. At such a point in history, humanity simply becomes a machine in service to the system that mankind created originally to service the needs of mankind. So the roles have become reversed, and man suddenly becomes a servant of the machine rather than the way it was supposed to be. You know, when we develop technology and we develop these automated systems, we think we're doing so to relieve the burden on our own lives, to make things more streamlined so that we can have more time for philosophical pursuits. But when such a system is controlled by economics, and when it is energy-based economic system, then you see a very, very different reality to the one that we believed we were constructing by automating things the way we've been doing. This is a very, very dark and nefarious scheme, folks, and the system now has its own life, and it's consolidating its power. And it's doing so without really any nefarious intentions. It's just doing so because that is the way a computer mind works. And that is the danger that we are facing, folks. It isn't necessarily from the evil hand at the top that's puppeteering the finances. It's coming from the system itself. Due to our continuing to comply with this system and our unwavering support for the rules that our politicians put in place. And as I said, folks, I don't even believe that many of these politicians actually realize what they're doing, because all they're really doing is making things efficient the way they've been trained to do. And again, folks, there are nefarious minds at the top that have put all this together for sure, but the way they've been able to do it and get so many people involved is by compartmentalizing the entire process. So you have all these different study groups and research foundations and all sorts of things and university studies and all sorts of things going on in different areas, and all the results get funneled into a central point. But none of the people who are conducting any of these little compartmentalized studies or activities actually realize what they're participating in. And as far as the education and business system goes, well, again, it's simply people attempting to make their particular compartment more efficient because that's what they believe success is. But I think we're at break time here, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes, looking at this system, it's a very, very interesting beast that we are facing. And look, don't get me wrong when I'm saying it isn't really the people at the top and we need to focus on the system. The thing is, we need to focus on both. But the only way to get to the people at the top is to realize what the system they are constructing is and realize what it is we are actually facing. I mean, like I said, sure, there are nefarious hands at the top that have put this whole mechanism together. But now it is the mechanism itself that is the problem. And we can deal with the people that have put it together later, but we have to see what is being constructed around us. We have to deal with that. We have to stop this mechanism from finishing what it is constructing. And it's an interesting way they've done it, folks. They really have, you know, disguised as the green movement, disguised as sustainable development, disguised as all these environmental movements, disguised as things such as the resource-based economy that is being promoted as well through the Venus Project. All of these things are leading to this technocratic system that has long been desired by the ruling hand. It's just that we've been misdirected in our approach, and I've been touching on this a lot lately. I've been talking about how we have been misdirected by the very many conspiracies that we've been given, the very many rabbit holes we've been given to go down. You know, we can point the finger at any one controlling hand, but we don't really look at the system itself and how the system is becoming digitized and it is becoming possessed of its own intelligence. This is what the whole quest for AI has really been about. It's been about creating a system that can think for itself and can assign and delegate humanity to the roles that it believes humanity should have, and it can manage the environment and do all of this sort of stuff. And if you think about it using the mind of a computer, of course, the best way to manage the environment to keep everything running smooth is to make the new economy an energy-based economy. So when you say resource-based, yes, it's designed on the resources, but it's your use of the resources and the energy you put into the system designating the energy you are allowed to take out of the system. And when you think about what people have been talking about, people such as George H.W. Bush, when they talked about the new economic order that they wanted to create, that's what it is. You know, when people are talking about the one world currency that they're scared will come in, people are thinking of it in terms of a coin
or a new note. Similar to something what they've got in Europe with the euro, you could have a world dollar that would work for the world. This is what people are perceiving when they think of a new one world currency. But what about a completely different type of currency, which is energy based? It's all digital, it's all on cards, and it's all measured in energy credits. And when you look at that, and you consider the smart system that they're rolling out, how all of the appliances are becoming intelligent, they can all talk to each other, the smart grid, the electrical grid, it's all about managing energy in an efficient way. And it's all about seeing how much energy people use, how many different appliances they use, how many times they use those appliances, so they can measure the energy credits that people are using, they can measure how much people are taking out of the system, so then they can gauge how much energy they are required to put back into the system in order to secure their energy credits, so they can then spend on other devices, which will also be measured by the amount of energy it took to create the device, however much energy it took to create the piece of clothing or the particular item of food, and it will be paid for via energy credits. So that's really what we're facing, folks. That's what the New World Order is. People have said, yes, well, the New World Order will be a New World corporate system. And yes, it will be a corporate system. It'll be run like a very, very efficient corporation. But not only will it be a New World Order that requires no government, but it's simply run like a corporation and a feedlot, which is all AI controlled. It will also be a system which contains a new economic order, whereby your share of the resources will be designated by your share of the input. And of course, who are the ones who control the resources at the top? Who are the ones who get to designate who gets what? Well, of course, they will be the ones who put the system together, which again is the same nefarious hand at the top that is controlling the financial system now. This whole thing appears to have been put in place mainly by the Trilateral Commission, which would be David Rockefeller and his cohorts. And you can see how it's all happened, folks. You can see how we've been misdirected and we've been approaching things from the wrong angle. We really have. We've been looking for the grand conspiratorial hand at the top, the big nefarious force that is putting all this together. But we haven't really been looking at what we are constructing around us. So what we have to do is figure out a way out of this mess, because it is rolling itself out. And in another 3 or 4 years, the AI will probably be sophisticated enough to come online, and then we'll be facing a very, very interesting time if we don't nip it in the bud before it happens. The question is, how do we do that? Well, again, folks, it's really been the way we've been educated and our willingness to give ourselves to science and believe that science can pave the way for us and that everything science does is good. And it's also been allowed to happen because of the system, because of the political system that has been put in place and the way the politicians that are operating within the political system simply do what they're told by the major financial institutions that control the governments. Everything that we're facing, you know, all the problems that we're facing on the planet come from legislation the politicians put in place, even the AI grid that's being rolled out. The way these politicians get into office and just do what it says further up the food chain, and they make the system more efficient, and they allow this digital system to be put in place because they perceive it to be the right thing to do. So it's very difficult to blame some of the lower level politicians because I don't really know what they're doing. The ones at the top most certainly do. There are people who are, I would suggest, the leaders of most of our countries probably know exactly what they're creating, although there may be some that don't. There may be some that are just puppets, like people like Tony Abbott, who we just kicked out. I mean, I don't think the Australians really know that much about what's going on. But then, of course, there are people like John Howard who did know exactly what was going on. I mean, John Howard should be arrested for war crimes anyway, simply due to his part in the illegal invasion of Iraq, which was based on a lie, but I guess I'm getting off topic. But getting back to the grid, folks, what we've got to understand is that this has all been put in place by politicians. All of these laws and all this legislation that's happening has been put in place by politicians. You know, everything that comes from the Trilateral Commission, everything that's ever been financed by the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, any of these corporations or foundations that they manage, all of these systems have been working towards this ultimate goal. And really what they're doing here, folks, by taking control of the entire human race the way they are doing and enslaving it to an AI-based economic system, which will mean economics rules every single aspect of your life. This really is a crime against the people of Earth. It really is a crime against humanity, folks. We have a criminal cabal that has taken over control of this planet, what I refer to these days as a kakistocracy.
as I've said to you before, a kakistocracy is when the very worst people in society rise to the top of the pile and have taken control of the system. And that's what we have, folks. We have a criminal element that has taken control of all of our governments. We have to stand up and call it out for what it is. We really do. And there is a way that we can arrest the entire lot in one go, and that's through acknowledging the crimes that are happening in Palestine. And I said this last week. I mean, it may be a weird thing for people to think, oh, he's defending Muslims again. But it's not defending Muslims. I'm not defending Muslims at all. What I'm doing is defending people. And I'm pointing out a war crime, something which is completely illegal under international law, which gives us the ability to arrest every politician on the planet that has been supporting it. And not only the politicians, folks, but every corporate head, every banking institution, and every media apparatus that has been supporting this war crime. We can get rid of the entire lot of them in one fell swoop. And if we do that, folks, we can nip the entire system in the bud straight away, and we can prevent what is being rolled out from continuing. I mean, we've got to go a long way from there, but we really do need to get this kakistocracy out of power, and we need to look around us and see what is being created. We need to acknowledge the existence of this AI system, which is looming up in the ever-nearing future. It really is, folks. We've been misdirected. We haven't really been looking at what is being created. We've been waiting for some one-world police state to be introduced. But what it is a digital police state. It's a digital AI economically based control grid that will simply lock you into it. And if everything is digitally controlled and everything is energy based and all of the exchanges are energy based, then it's just game, set and match. They've got the human race by the short and curlies at that point, and it'll be a very, very difficult system to get out of. Of course, they can introduce it by decimating Europe the way they are. I mean, Europe is about to burn, I think. And once it all crashes and burns and everything comes tumbling down, then they can just roll out this new system across the board, and it's going to be a very easy thing for them to do if we don't pay attention now. I really think we are at a crossroads, folks. I think it's time that everybody took the blinkers off and turned to really look at this system and look at what is being created around us and start linking up together and formulating a workable strategy to address this situation. I mean, just the surveillance system that they are rolling out is pretty incredible, folks. And the worst part about it is that we're actually installing it ourselves and we're doing it for them. You know, with what we've done with Facebook, most people put their entire lives on Facebook. So there is a beautiful data collection system for the powers that believe they be. And when you look at the new television sets that have come in, they've got 3D television sets which can figure out how many people are in the room. It can triangulate the room and it can adjust the screen so that everybody in the room gets to see 3D from where they happen to be sitting. We look at this and we go, wow, isn't this convenient? Isn't this a wonderfully useful technology? But what we don't realize in that, folks, is that the television is looking at you. It's triangulating your room. It's determining how many people are in the room. And when you get the entertainment systems that they're bringing in now, like they're bringing it all together, you know, Windows is really working towards your television set. They want to have a whole home entertainment system, which includes the internet and television and everything, all via Windows, all via your television. And with the new Windows 10 that's coming out with Cortana and the way the microphone is always on and the way your television set is looking at you and monitoring how many people in the room, then you've got a very, very effective and very efficient monitoring system installed in everybody's home, simply by them installing Windows 10 and hooking up to their 3D TV. And again, we see shades of George Orwell's book, 1984, when they had the big screens that constantly monitored everything that people were doing. Of course, in A Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, they always took the drug Soma to keep their mood even. And what do we see in our society today? We see our societies are kept heavily fluoridated, which kind of keeps their mood even, not really even, but it keeps them so that they're not thinking too clearly. There has been talk of putting lithium in the water supply as well, so that people don't get too upset about things, and you never know what's down the track. But you can see where it's all going, folks. So again, like I said, what we need to do is to formulate a way out of this mess that has been created around us, because if we do allow it to continue and allow it to just simply be created, then we're going to find it very, very difficult to extricate ourselves from it. And again, folks, the way to do it, I really believe, one of the biggest opportunities we have in the world is to address the situation in Palestine. Because if we do that, we can arrest the entire kakistocracy and we can maybe make things a little bit transparent from that point and lead ourselves back to safety. but we have to find a way of getting this criminal cabal out of power in one fell swoop, and Palestine is really providing us the key that we can do that with. I mean, if international law is going to mean anything, folks, it's only going to work if we call it out and we do it. Because, you know, the United Nations doesn't care about international law. If they would, they wouldn't be installing a Saudi as the head of the Human Rights Council. And that actually would have done something about Gaza Strip already. So it's up to us to stand up and call it for what it is, folks. We've all got to call this out. And we may be able to get the attention of the world. I mean, everybody's got a problem with the government. Even if they don't care about the situation in Palestine, most people are dealing with something at home, which is a result of something that the government has done, and they don't know how to deal with that problem. Well, I say the way to deal with the problem is to remove the government from power by calling them out for the war crimes that they're committing and arrest a lot of them and take them to The Hague and roll back every piece of corrupt legislation these criminals have enacted. Then we can elect some new people for the time being, install some sort of a system which is a little bit more transparent than the one we've got, and lead ourselves back to safety. I mean, surely we've got the basic structure of a legal system and civilization here in all of our basic constitutions anyway with which to do this with. And personally, I think that is what needs to be done. But it's not going to happen if we don't stand up and call it out. And that's not going to happen unless we're prepared to face what is being built around us and call that for what it is as well. We've got to see what is being created because it's very, very dangerous for people to ignore this, folks. We don't have a lot of time left before its power is going to be pretty well online. We've got a few years to turn this around, and that's not a very, very long time frame. I'd say 3 to 5 years is about our window to fix this problem, folks. Interestingly, 3 to 5 years is around about our window to probably fix Gaza as well, because Gaza is becoming virtually uninhabitable. And if we do miss this opportunity to arrest the entire cacostrocracy that Gaza is providing, then I honestly don't know how else we're going to do it. I really do wish people would pay attention to Palestine and pay attention to the opportunity it's providing for us. I really do. It's such an important issue. And what we are facing is very important as well. It's imperative that people become aware of what is happening. And it's imperative that people start engaging in positive action on the ground in their communities to alert people to what is happening and to address what is happening. Now, of course, there'll be various ways that we can do this, but that, again, is what Full Circle Project is all about. It's about linking up together so that we can discuss methods that we can deal with this that are going to be effective. And once we find these methods that work in different communities, we can share them with all the other communities in the project, and we can all adopt the same approach. But we've got to have that common focal point, which is to remove the cacistocracy from power using the legal system that we have. Because if we use the legal system that we have, we can get the man on the street on board with us. And if it gets to a point where it becomes worse than that, well, I don't know, we'll chase them down with pitchforks if we have to. But these people have to be removed from power. And it has to be done in a responsible, non-violent way. I really, really believe that is the way to do it. We don't want revolution. We don't want any violence. We don't want to see our countries erupt into chaos the way the cacistocracy is planning. Because they're going to do it for us, folks. If we don't stand up and address this soon, they're going to create the violence and the chaos for us, and then it's just all going to turn to muck, and we've just got to hope that the right forces emerge from the chaos. But from that point, well, I really don't like our chances. I think it's important that we act now. I really do. Of course, not everything's going to erupt into chaos. It won't erupt into chaos here in Australia. They'll simply stage some sort of a terror attack so they can use it to lock the control grid down. But there's no real reason to erupt the entire place into chaos. Australia's a very, very controlled population the way it is, and they're bringing in all sorts of control systems now just to make sure the people learn to think in the right way, a way that is appropriate by the government. It's actually been something called a radicalization kit, which is a booklet which has been introduced to Australian schools, which is a booklet aimed at helping teachers identify radicalized students. And it warns that these students can become motivated by ideologies such as environmentalism or economic concerns. It describes radicalization as a complex process that can occur for people across a diverse range of ethnic, national, political, and religious groups. And the process involves a series of decisions which in certain circumstances will lead to an act of violent extremism. This is the guarantee, they say. If they think this way, then it will lead to violent extremism. And what do they suggest? These things, these radical forms of thinking would be. They say as a person radicalizes, they begin to develop and adopt attitudes and behaviors that seek to substantially transform the nature of society or government. That is the problem, folks. It's when a person's beliefs move from being relatively conventional to being that which is outside the norm. And these people are being identified as potential extremists, and the school teacher has been told to put a little red mark next to their name and keep an eye on them and pass the information on to the government. And that's what's happening, folks. This has been launched in Australia by the Justice Minister and the Minister for Assisting the Prime Minister on Counterterrorism to help teachers look for signs of radicalisation in their students. So, gee, folks, anybody who seeks to change society or government in any way that may benefit the people can be seen as a radical extremist. Of course, when you bring in the type of education that they're wanting to introduce, such as Common Core, which is basically training everybody to think exactly the same way, and then they identify people who do not think exactly the same way, and they identify them as potential extremists, and of course they segregate them or curtail their activities or limit what they can do, or just downright arrest and remove them. And that's where we're heading, folks. Anybody who seeks to change the government can be seen as an extremist. Imagine if we get a new political party that actually seeks to bring in a new system. They'll be able to class these people as extremists as well. Anybody who thinks outside of the way the party designates you should think, they will be able to class as an extremist. And again, folks, we won't really have government in the end. We will have governance by a system. And all we'll have in government really will be figureheads that sit there and move paper around and sign the odd document and punch a few numbers into the computer. That's all it will be. But as you can see, they're already working to identify people who are thinking outside of the box and to label them as potential extremists, simply because they may not like the way the system is run. Imagine anybody speaking out against the human rights abuses that we see in Palestine being identified as an extremist simply for caring about humanity rather than putting the system or the economic system over humanity. This is really where we're heading, folks. It's going to be all about the system and supporting the system, and humanity is second to the system, and the purpose of humanity is to serve the system. And so that's where we're being led, ladies and gentlemen. We're being led into an extremely efficient, AI-controlled, economically-based slavery system. And we have two options. We can either continue to go in that direction, or we can do something about it. And that's the only two options that we have. We can't ignore it. We can't go and build an alternate community somewhere, because we will still have to participate in this system. We're still going to need money at some stage. And the only money we're going to be able to have will be energy credits. And if the environment is managed under guidelines such as Agenda 21, then we're going to find it very difficult to have an alternate community anywhere unless we are complying completely with the government regulations in the way we construct it. And of course, the government regulations will be designed in such a manner that we can't possibly comply to them, and we have to enter back into the system. And if we don't, we'll be classed as a radical extremist and we will probably be arrested. So that's the choices that we have before us. We can either comply with what is happening, or we can be a disruptive force to this system. And when I say disruptive force, I don't mean anything violent or radical. But what I mean is you need to inform yourself of what is happening, and you need to inform others of what is happening, and you need to begin questioning authority and doing it in the right way. And I really do believe, as I've said twice already on the show, that Palestine is offering us a key to address this entire situation in one go. You know, if we can get above the whole concept of Muslim and Jew and Israel and Palestine and all of this stuff, and just put it down to the fact that there are people, mainly children, that are being held in prison there. It's an open war crime that's being supported by hundreds, if not thousands, of politicians all around the planet. It's an open war crime, folks. And because it's a war crime and it's a flagrant human rights violation, it does give us the ability to arrest all of these people, even if we have to get our military in to do it. I mean, there's got to be some patriots in the world today that can see what is going on and who have the means and the know-how and the ability to stand up and address this situation. And I really believe it's time for even our police forces and our militaries, those who are employed to protect our society, it's time these people stood up and actually protected society by arresting the cacistocracy, which is seeking to bring this scientific control grid down onto society. Because this control grid involves everybody. There is no army personnel or police officer or politician who is going to be able to escape this control grid. And unless you're one of the ones at the top, one of the heads of these banking cartels or trilateral commission members that are rolling all of this out, it doesn't really matter what work you've done along the way. It doesn't matter how good a lapdog you've been. Doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you've collected into your bank account. They can switch all that off and they can turn it into energy credits and then you just become a pleb like everybody else. So there's no reason for anybody in the world to support what is being rolled out. And I don't think anybody could. I don't think anybody who could really see this could possibly support it. Not anybody who isn't part of this banking elite anyway. And so it's important that people do become aware of this because there are millions upon millions. There are literally billions of us, ladies and gentlemen. And we can stand up and we can refuse to comply with this system anytime we want. We just have to see it for what it is. We need to see the very real danger that humanity is facing if we do not turn and face this system. So yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, folks, but really, this is what we're facing. This is what's being rolled out. But the good news is that we still can address this situation if we stand up and make noise about it, and we don't go digital. Now, people need to throw away their mobile phones, throw away all this stuff. You don't need to be telling the government what your every move is. You don't need to be texting people all day. Just go and ring them up on a landline or go and visit them. It's a lot more human to do something like that. And don't shop with credit cards, folks. Don't shop with plastic. Shop with cash. Don't leave a paper trail of everything that you do. And write to your governments. Get involved in politics. Write to these people and ask them what the hell they're doing. Ring them up and ask them what the hell they're doing. Ring up the foreign minister's office and ask them if they are supporting Israel. And if they confirm that they are supporting Israel, let them know that this is a concern for you because it would appear that your government is therefore supporting war crimes. And should your government not therefore be required to show cause why we the people should not express a loss of confidence in this government's ability to govern and have them not only dismissed but prosecuted for war crimes. Just get in there and stir the pot, folks. That's what it's about, folks. The problem is we don't stir the pot enough, and this is what we get, you know. There's an old saying that if you don't stir the pot, then the scum rises to the top. And that's what's happened in our society. We just haven't been stirring the pot enough. And the scum has risen to the top, and the scum is now controlling what the rest of society must do, and this situation is simply not acceptable, ladies and gentlemen. It's not acceptable, and if we don't address the situation, then we are allowing ourselves to be locked down into a prison that it's going to take hundreds upon hundreds of years to ever escape from, if we ever manage to do it at all. The only way we will ever escape from it is if that spark of freedom is somehow allowed to continue inside the mind of man. But with the system that's being introduced, I don't know how that will ever happen. So the opportunity is here for us now, and the time for us to act on this opportunity is now. It's just up to us to rise to the challenge. But that's it for me, folks. We've reached the end of the show here today. It's been a pleasure having your company on the air today. It's always a pleasure to come and speak to you. Thank you to anybody who's helped with the website. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution. Don't forget that on Thursday, October the 1st, we will be holding a seminar for Full Circle Project. You'll find the details for that on the Full Circle Project website. The web address is fullcircleproject.net, and I hope to see you at the seminar. But that is it for me. I'm completely out of time. We can fix this system, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.